Let's talk to Bruce Williamson, though, because we've still got train moans to have as well. Bruce, a very good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning. Don't we ever have train moans? Isn't it a perpetual state?
Well, it usually is a perpetual state, but that's because the trains are so bad rather than because of the people being so constantly disappointed. The story today is that there's over £100 million worth of compensation going missing over train delays because people can't be bothered to actually claim it.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is actually nothing new. This has been going on for years and years, and I think it's a shame, really. You know, there's you know, for once, there's free money to be had just for the asking. What is wrong with people?
Well, I see what's wrong with people, because I'm one of those who's tried to claim compensation from the train companies. They make it so complicated and difficult and time-consuming that if you're only really claiming back something like £2 or £3, even though that might be on a basis of, you know, once a month or three times a year or four times a year, you know, the money just isn't worth the time.
Yeah, I think you make a fair point there. You know, I think it's something we've been banging on about for some time. The train operating companies need to make the process as easy as possible, and also just to publicise the fact that it's available. I'm sure there's loads of people who simply don't realise right. that if their train is delayed by, now it's 15 minutes, it used to be 30 minutes, now you can claim after 15 minutes delay, and people probably just don't know this.
So well, they do. I mean, I've been on trains myself, and you know that I've got a bit of a bugbear about Southeastern, who I used to use an awful lot, and you'd get a message as you were sitting outside wondering why you weren't actually, you know, it's not like a landing gate that you come on a plane, why we're not coming into London Bridge, sitting outside, and the voice comes on the tannoy saying, you know, if your train has been delayed by more than half an hour, please make sure that you claim compensation, and then it directs you somewhere in the station to go and get a form. And you're kind of going, well, I'm already late, actually, so I'm not going to wander about the station looking for a form, because I haven't got time.
Yeah, you're right. This is about time we moved into the 21st century, isn't it? And, you know, I think Chris Grayling, a while back, was talking about forcing the train companies to make it easier by having like a one button on your app that you press and it you know, claims the money back for
yeah.
you. And you can do this on the web, and you know, I think it should be made as easy as possible. In fact, I would go further. It should be made totally automatic, because if you've got a season ticket or, you know, an Oyster card or whatever, you
now that's a good idea.
Sorry?
I said there's a good idea.
Yeah. You know, you zap yourself. The thing is, it's all automated. It's all computerized.
Yeah.
What it needs is the various different bits of computerized technology to talk to each other. So you get, you know, the Oyster card to talk to the timetable computer, and the timetable computer looks up your address, and then that talks to the bank's computer and sends you some money. Wouldn't it be wonderful?
It would be, wouldn't it? I mean, you would think that that's not beyond the wit of man, considering, you know, how far we've come in terms of facial recognition technology, the fact that you can literally have a contactless card, which you don't need to do anything with apart from touch on something. I mean, could there not even be some form of contactless card in reverse? Where you know, when you're going out, there's a little button that you put your contactless card on, which is only activated if the train is late. You put your contactless card on, the money comes back to you.
Yes,
I've had another genius
totally
idea.
Possible. Yeah, yeah, it's totally possible.
I'm not even trying to have a good idea this morning.
it's about political will, and it's about the industry getting its act together, and people like you and me and the government to put pressure on the industry to make this happen, because
yeah.
it is totally doable.
How about, on the other hand as well, actually trying to reduce the number of late trains? Because I know that that is sometimes shrouded in mystery. The way that a train is sort of technically said to be late is not always the same as the reality version of late.
No, it's not. I see what you mean. What, you're talking about the various thresholds.
Yeah, well, when, you know, if you're 20 minutes late, it's not as bad as if you're half an hour late, or you could be 10 minutes late, or, you know what I mean? There's all kinds of different
definitely.
Definitions.
I mean, obviously, sometimes, you know, 5 minutes late is enough for you to miss your connection.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't get compensation for that. And there is also an anomaly as well. There's a mismatch, because if Network Rail causes a train to be 5 minutes late, then the train operating companies can claim compensation off Network Rail. But, you can't claim compensation off the train operating company until 15 minutes later.
Yeah.
That seems a little bit unfair.
Well, it does. I mean, I can give you a great horror story of the sort of average day in the life of a commuter. I had to get up to Norfolk or Suffolk somewhere once to go to Centre Parks, which was a bad idea to begin with. I had to get a train to Cambridge and then change, right? I got off the train at Cambridge, which was on time, but because there was a lot of people going up and down the stairs to the other side, by the time I got down the other side, I went to get on the connecting train, and a guy stopped me and said, "You can't get on this." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "It's just about to leave." I said, "Yeah, I know. I've got a ticket to get on it." He went, no, you can't get on it. It's dangerous." So I had to stand there and watch it as its doors closed and it left. There was then not another train going to that place for another hour.
Yeah.
So I had to take a different train to another place called Ely, where the train I was supposed to get from Ely was cancelled. I ended up having to get a taxi to the Centre Parks place. It cost me 50 quid. You know, I can't get that back.
No. Well, you probably could if you had a smart lawyer. But, yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it?
I mean, I think well, I'd get 20 quid and the lawyer gets 30. It's not worth it, is it?
Yeah. I mean, we've all got these sort of frustrating tales of rail travel. You know, it's my job to actually, you know, support the rail industry. I think trains are great, you know, but I think that, you know, we need to make sure that they work better. They work in the interests of people so that the stories you tell become rarer and rarer. And I think, sadly, we've got an awful lot of... an awful long way to go and an awful lot of investment to make until we get that
and
point.
We get an awful lot of the eco planks talking about how cheap it is to fly and how expensive it is to go by rail.
Yeah.
That's just the way of the world, isn't it?
Well, not entirely, no, because, you know, the if you like, the rules and regulations and the taxation is skewed in favour of flying. So, for instance, your aeroplane pays no duty whatsoever on its fuel, but the train operating company has to pay rail fuel duty. Now, that's not fair. Where's the sense in that?
Well, hang on. Airlines pay a lot more duty than usually the price of the ticket. I mean, the taxes on an airline ticket right now are more than 50% of the price of the ticket.
Yeah, that's maybe. Yeah, sure. But I mean,
well,
yeah,
you don't say that says maybe, because that says absolutely definitely.
Well, flying nonetheless remains, you know, outrageously cheap, and it's a major cause of carbon emissions in the world, and it's growing. Now, if you have a train, is electric, hopefully, and we're all in favour of electrification. And you can use green energy to power your trains and travel without guilt and without pollution. And I think it's the way to go. And it's something that with the various different taxations...
By the way, can I just tell you, I don't suffer from guilt in any way. So that's not a selling point to me.
Well, that's because you're inhuman, Mike. But most people...
That's not very nice.
You know, and the government should be sort of, you know, working to make us more environmentally friendly in going about operating.
Yeah, well, they are, but the point is you can't make it more expensive for everybody, because that's not the way forward. Surely the way forward is to incentivize rather than to punish, and in that way
I kind of agree. It's got to be a bit of carrot and stick, and whether it is carrot or stick, it's got to be seen to be reasonable, and I think that's the point. But surely taxing aircraft fuel the same as you tax car fuel or rail fuel seems reasonable, doesn't it?
Well, it would be reasonable if you didn't have all the other taxes which rail companies don't pay, but which, you know, airline companies do. But we're out of time. Listen, we'll have to pick this up another time. Bruce, thanks very much indeed. Bruce Williamson from Rail Future.